Blog.
I would like to welcome everybody to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. I want to thank you for tuning in, and tonight on the show, we have a real estate investor from San Antonio, Texas, that we will be talking to. We want to encourage you on tonight, if you are a Christian, we want to talk about why you need to be in business for yourself. Take action and not just sit on the pew. All right. Well, greetings to everybody out there. And tonight on the show, like I just said, we're going to be talking with a real estate investor from San Antonio, Texas. Now, Marcus, how are you doing on tonight?
Doing well, man, doing well.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Let's just start this conversation out a little bit. And like I told you earlier, I just wanted to, you know, talk a little bit about the real estate market, but you're a real estate investor. Just talk about some different professions that Christians, you know, can do, some things that they can do, and also that will lead to having them to go into business for themselves. But I want you to talk to us a little bit about what you do, who you are, what church you go to, and anything else you want the listeners to know about yourself.
All right, man. Well, first of all, my name is Marcus Bledsoe. I'm a real estate agent and investor out in San Antonio, Texas. I've been practicing real estate for the last 4 years. I actually own and operate a company out in San Antonio called At Your Service Real Estate and Relocation Specialists, and we specialize in four different areas of real estate. We specialize in rentals, apartment locating, and then on the investment side of the company, we do wholesale real estate, and we do rehab consulting. And I'm a firm believer that we as Christians, and especially, you know, in these latter times, we definitely need to start branching off and doing some things on our own and trying to build equity both in business and in our own lives, especially just with the way that the economy is going and things of that nature. It's always better to have equity within some type of investment that is bringing you what's called passive income, where you're not having to work 8 hours and the income that's coming into your life is not predicated on you working a job for 8 hours. The people that make the most money in today's economy actually do it using their mind and not necessarily their time. Your time is the most invaluable investment that we have because we can't get any more of it. So I'm just a firm believer that, you know, owning your own business and having investments and whatnot that are bringing in passive income is just the best way to go to take back your time.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that's just a little bit about me. Aside from that, I'm 25 years old. Actually, tomorrow is going to be my one-year anniversary to my beautiful wife.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we plan on enjoying ourselves out here in San Antonio, and it's a little bit about my personal life there.
Okay. What happened? Y'all were going to the Bahamas? Y'all going to the Bahamas, France, Paris? What happened?
No, not the Bahamas. Actually, we just came back from Barbados last week. And we definitely enjoyed ourselves out there. But seeing as how we just came back from Barbados and we went out there actually to support another friend of mine who got married out there and asked me to be in the wedding, we're going to do something small for our anniversary. We're just going to enjoy ourselves out here in San Antonio, enjoy some of the tourist attractions here locally.
Okay, and nothing's wrong with that. Now, let me ask you this. Now, was that a hard thing? I know, you know, you mentioned, you know, you own a business, you're in business for yourself, and you emphasize the fact that it is necessary for people to search out a business that will bring them some passive income. And you said passive income is something that you can start, but it's coming in and you don't have to continually work for it in order to get it. So if I have a job at, let's say, McDonald's, I work at McDonald's, my paycheck is predicated on me working so many hours. I don't work those hours, I don't get that paycheck. But with passive income, and as far as passive income is concerned, what I hear you saying is passive income is something that you can do now that will bring you money and checks in the future, and it's not predicated on you always having to work in order to bring it in. It's coming because of something that you could have done now, something that you've invested in, or an idea that you created, a patent. It could be, you know, you can invent something, a song that you've written, something of that nature. But in this instance, we're talking about real estate, and you're in the business of real estate, and you're talking about and I'm going to let you talk about what you do. I don't know if you buy houses, you flip them, if you come in. I'll let you talk about all that. But that's the emphasis. That's what I was hearing you saying about passive income. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. There's an awesome book out there, and most individuals who are entrepreneurs and have gone into business for themselves have actually read this book. And it's called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I'm sure
you've
heard of it.
Yes.
Well,
Rich Dad,
why did you say that?
Oh no, I just said oh no. I said not oh no. I was playing with that. It's a good book. No, go ahead. That's just me.
Okay. Well, I feel like it's an excellent book. And the author of the book defines wealth, because most people, when you hear the word wealth and you think of a wealthy individual, we think that wealth is defined by just having a whole lot of money, just being able to, I guess, you know, take trips and things like that. And we consider a person who has that ability to be a wealthy person. But the writer of that book actually redefined wealth, and he stated that wealth is predicated on a person's ability to live off of, without touching the principal on any of your investments, without touching the principal on any of your investments, to be able to live off the passive income that's generated from your investment. And so what that means is if you have $100,000 invested into the stock market, the $100,000 mm-hmm. is your principal, and whatever those stocks are generating in income, that's that passive income that you're receiving. Or whether you invest in the money, whether you invest in money markets, whether you invest in the stock market, and any other kind of investment that you have out there. And most
right.
people nowadays, and especially as Christians, because we put so much stock in, well, let me say it like this. The organization that I, you know, I'm a part of, and I praise God for my organization, but we put a lot of stock in our ability to praise God without actually putting
mm-hmm.
our hand to the plow to do anything. And we
Hold up. You just hit a whole nugget of information right there, because that is definitely something I do want to emphasize. I'm gonna come back to
yeah.
that, but I just wanted to interrupt you. I want you to hold that thought process, because that's what I would definitely like to discuss and get around. I'm glad you mentioned it, but continue.
I was just gonna say, man. I mean, because I go to the conferences often, and I go to the conventions, and like I said, I praise God for my organization. But so often you hear the preachers preaching a message that my breakthrough and my breakthrough financially and my breakthrough out of all the problems that I have is predicated on my ability to praise God for the next 3 minutes or to elevate my voice high enough to reach the heavens, and God is just going to begin to pour blessings down from heaven. And while I am a firm believer that praise and worship and giving God the glory that he deserves, it allows God to open up that door, and it opens up a door to a connection that we can have with him whereby he can bless us. I'm still a firm believer of what the Bible says, that our faith without works is dead. The faith
is
without
dead.
Works is dead. And so I'm a firm believer that we must put our hands to the plow. We must actually invest in life in order
mm-hmm.
to receive residual blessing and residual benefit from the investment that we make. Everything in life is an investment. You must invest
right.
time into anything that you do in order to receive from that investment that you put in. And for me, I choose to invest in real estate, you know, for financial stability and for financial freedom, because in real estate is really the safest investment that you can really make in terms of finances.
Okay, now let me ask you that. Having...
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I was going. I wanted to stop you right there for a quick, a hot minute, because I want to really emphasize on the fact that you said even with the organization, I don't want to emphasize too much on the organization more than I want to emphasize on the fact that that's something that's just going on in a lot of organizations across the spectrum, across the Christian spectrum, so to say.
Yeah.
But you mentioned that, you know, you go to conferences, you go to this conference, you go to church service, or you go here or there, and, you know, you hear people, I call it, you know, for lack of better words, I call it, you know, prostituting God. But you hear a lot of messages that kind of it disassociates the Christian from a correct Christian relationship or a correct understanding of God, because like you were saying, you know, you have someone that's coming in here, you know, you don't even go to Bible study. You can't even get the Bible study on time. You come to church when you feel like it. You can't hold a job. You're late. Are you even in school? Are you saving any money? You know, you're in and out. You're not stable in your personal life, and you lack discipline. But we want you to come in here to a conference where we tell you to open up your mouth and praise God and say hallelujah and say you got it and turn around seven times and jump three times and put an offering in the plate. And we believe that, and we want you to think that because you did that, you're going to walk out the door and you're going to run into $1 million and God is going to bless you and God is going to do this. And so it takes the Christian off of being responsible for their lives and puts all the blame on God. So then when it doesn't happen, it's God's fault. And then you come into a pastor or a spiritual counselor that's more apt to say it's something that you're, you know, not doing in your spiritual life when it's not your spiritual life. We need to get at it's your physical life and your discipline.
Right.
And your personal philosophy to how you interpret God. Go ahead.
See, that's the word right there. It's the discipline. It's the discipline. Because God has given us so much wisdom and understanding, it, you know, primarily in the book of Proverbs and the Psalms and all of these different books that just give us understanding on how we should live our lives. I believe that that God has given us the ability, you know, to get a plan within our minds, to put a vision in our minds, and the Bible says that a man's heart deviseth his ways, or man's heart creates his ways, but it's God who puts the steps together. So I believe God has given us the wisdom and understanding to put a plan together and actually follow that plan. But it's because of our lack of discipline that we're not able to see the manifestation of the blessing that God wants to give.
And it sounds like what I just heard you say. You know, God works with us, huh? It's like God works with what we're working with.
That's it. That's it. The book of Malachi says the book of Habakkuk, I believe the third chapter says to write out the vision and to make it plain. It says that the just are going to live by faith, but we've got to have the faith, first of all, and we've got to have the understanding and the discipline to sit down and write out a plan, and then God blesses us in that.
Now, you mentioned, and I want to let everybody that's listening, I know you mentioned a book before, and I hope they can take my response negatively on that. But the author of that book, I believe, is Robert Kiyosaki. And the reason I said that, because I remembered it, because I was in Hawaii for a time period when that book was building more credibility, in, you know, I hate to say, on the national and international level. So Robert Kiyosaki, I believe he is from Hawaii, and that book it spread kind of like wildfire. So that was maybe 10 years ago. That was about 10, 11 years ago, and I remember that book. So, you know, everybody was reading the book, and they passed it out, The Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And he actually went further. There's a book right now. I don't know if people can actually find that book out there. I know it's in, like, you know, you can probably get the book in Kmart or the dollar stores now. But he did a book with Donald Trump called Why We Want You to Be Rich, Why We Think You Should Be Rich. I believe that's the name, Why We Think That You Should Be Rich. So I think... And that's also an awesome read, and I'm glad you mentioned Robert Kiyosaki, because you talk about redefining wealth. And if you redefine wealth, it's not just, oh, I need to get an education, I need to get a degree in this and go down this road. But if you redefine wealth, like you said, I think people need to redefine wealth so they can actually have a right mindset and devise a correct plan as to how to get it. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. So
right.
So what you get and what's manifested in your life is directly connected to your thoughts. Go ahead.
That's it, man. And as Christians, if anybody should understand that principle, it should be Christian. But I find that as I network with other real estate investors and even other individuals who have made, who are in the process of making fortunes in multi-level marketing companies like USANA and Avon and these other organizations, they understand that principle greater than we as Christians understand that principle.
Yeah, let me ask you this. I'm sorry, continue. Go ahead. I'm going to let you finish.
I wanted to ask you a question.
I
was just going to say, just touching on that scripture, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what I hear from that scripture is that our thoughts have the power to create things. Our thoughts have the power to bring forth manifestations within our lives. So if we're running around considering ourselves the lowliest of creatures and beings on the earth, that's what we're going to be. If we're walking around with low self-esteem and depression issues, then we're not really going to get very far in life. But if we walk around with thoughts of success, and if we walk around with positive thoughts and we, like I said before, get that vision within our mind and we hold that vision there, then that is what's going to manifest in our lives. And like I was saying, you know, as I network with other individuals, like that's the main thing. And I know we had a conversation not too long ago about metaphysics and a person's ability to create those things in our mind. And like I said before, man, if we really looked into the scriptures and pulled those things out of the scriptures, we as Christians should understand those principles more than the world does. But go ahead.
You said, gosh, you got up in there. I wasn't going to mention metaphysics, but you brought it up. Now, I was going, man, you got all up in that. I'm going to have to I'm gonna have to get you back on here to go more in-depth about this because that's been my experience. You think that Christians should understand metaphysics. We know the papers on physics, and there's a bunch of people on the internet, you know, we've taken the branch of metaphysics. I know in college they don't like to call it metaphysics. They'd rather call it speculative philosophy. But you would think that people would understand these notions because you have in the world your motivational speakers. They have grabbed a hold of a lot of metaphysical principles, and they use them in their discussions as points of discussions and their processes and, you know, counseling techniques and things and their recommendations and all of this information they give us, and they rewrite it and put it in books. And you would think that Christians would understand that, especially as a man thinketh, so is he, understanding that you're made in the image of God. God said it was. But what I found is kind of giving Christians a picture as to what's going on, and I call it a metaphysical picture, what's going on behind the scenes, because I don't think Christians understand that when you speak, if you're made in the image of God, then when you speak, the power of creation is on your word. But then, you know, you ask people, well, what happens when they speak? Yeah, you speak, you know, the Bible tells us God spoke and he said. The Bible said that God said, and from that we know that everything was created off of the word of God. But what is actually happening when we believe these things, when we speak these things, and everything is connected to your thoughts? How you think is going to give you what is manifested in your life, and what separates what is manifested in the physical form from what is actually existent in the spiritual realm, because all things exist. Everything is in God. So how do you get it from the spirit to the physical? The medium is your mouth. That's how, you know, the power of life and death is in the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That means you shall eat the fruit of what you say. You shall have what you say. But in Christendom, it's a little imbalanced. And what you said was so powerful, because I was a couple networking organizations. And I want you to talk about this for a minute, networking and Christian's mindset, or quote unquote, not just the Christian mindset. I hate to say this, but I have to say the African-American mindset, because, you know, you go into an African-American church or you talk to the average African-American about networking, and, you know, and actually the average individual, whether they're African-American, white, or whatever, thinks that networking is a pyramid scheme, which I find odd, because any job you work at is a pyramid scheme. You have one person at the top. Most businesses are pyramid schemes, but a network marketing opportunity allows you the opportunity to create wealth for yourself, and it starts with you. And you're empowering other people to do the same thing for themselves. It's a different mindset to what you're doing. But how do you see, or how have you found people's perspectives to be concerning network marketing. Because I've done it for a while. I think it's awesome and it's great. You know,
yeah.
They said if you want to be a CEO or a business, get in network marketing. You get all of the skills you need for free. But I found a lot of African-Americans, as soon as you say it, they say, oh, that's a pyramid scheme. And it's amazing to me because then when you look at them, well, what are you doing now? What are you doing?
And you know
what,
man, I've made that observation, man, because I'm actually a part of a network marketing company myself. And
mm-hmm.
the first couple of meetings and conventions that I went to, I looked around, and you know I didn't see too many minorities at all, man. To be honest with you, I didn't see too many minorities. And I tell you why. I tell you why I believe that you don't see too many minorities. Because of the fact that in order to get into a world like that, it takes an investment. It takes an investment. And we look at it as a bill, but if you really get on the inside and understand what's going on there, it's actually an investment into your future. Because like you said, you work in a regular job, that is truly a pyramid scheme because there's absolutely
no way
that you as an employee can make as much as your boss or as your boss's boss. But see, in a multi-level marketing company, it's not that way. The person that brings you into the company, your ability to make money or your ability to surpass that person is strictly based on the amount of work and the amount of time and the amount of effort that you put into it. So you have the capability of surpassing that person that brought you in as well as the person that brought them in. If you really understand the payment structure, you have the capability to write your own check. And with that, man, the reason why I pursue entrepreneurship is because my boss has never actually, or let's say my boss's boss, because if I have a manager on a job, that's the person that I see the majority of the time. But very rarely do I actually see the vice president of the company or the CEO of that company. And never will the CEO of a company ever come down to my level as an employee to ask me, hey, Marcus, how are you doing? How is your family doing? How are your children doing? How is your wife? You know, how is she doing in life? They'll never come down to your level to ask
mm-hmm.
you that, but what they will do is they'll send orders down the chain, and you find that those orders are instructions for the employee for the benefit of the company so that you can achieve another person's goal. And they want you to work as many hours of the day out of the day that they can get you to work legally, 8 to 12 hours out of the day, trying to accomplish their goals. But they'll never come down to your level to ask you, hey, Marcus, what are your goals? How is your family doing? You see what I'm saying? And what you're doing is if you take a 24-hour day period and you remove the 8 hours that you're supposed to be getting for sleep, you remove the 8 hours that you're working, and then you really look at how much more time you have left in the day, you're giving a third of your life for the benefit of another person's goals rather than taking that time to accomplish your own goals and to spend time with your family and those things that really, truly matter.
Now, that's profound. I'm glad you said that. That's profound because, you know, you find it hard. You get in organizations, and I'm going to use the military. You get a military, and you have a structure. And people will say, oh, the military is not like that, but you still have somebody at the top. So people say, oh, there's room for promotion, but still there's a system in place. So you, like you said, in most businesses, the CEO is not going to come down and say, how are you doing personally? But they'll send orders down the chain, like you just said, that's going to benefit the whole of the bottom line. It's going to benefit them in the end while you're at a fixed level of income. No matter how much education you get, no matter your skill set, you're fixed. Where in a network marketing organization per se, you said you can kind of control, you can kind of write your own check by the amount of work, by whatever you put into it. And then you compare the hours. Now, I'm glad you compared the hours because that gave, you know, people a visual. That gives listeners a visual. You spend 8 hours at work, and what was the other 8 hour time period you mentioned?
The 8 hour time period is the sleep we're supposed to be getting.
So you sleep. So you're supposed to get 8 hours of sleep a day. So you said 8 hours of sleep a day, 8 hours of work. That's 16 hours. And you said that's you know, that's more. That's about a third of that is. That's a little more than half. That's a third of your day working for someone else's, well, the time that's spent. But a part of that, like you said, a third of your day is working for someone else's vision, that 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Working so really, that's 8 hours working for someone else's vision, and that's 16 hours that's actually wasted, not wasted, but it's 16 hours that's subtracted from the total amount of hours in the day. So now you're looking at what's left. So what are you going to do? And see, you have people, that's what I learned, because I when you talk to some millionaires or some people that are successful, and, you know, you just kind of take a minute just to talk to them. There are some people that say, oh, you know, I know some people that sleep around all day. I know some people that just, you know, in their beginning stages, they don't get that much sleep. And I know for me, you know, I have to look at that. I'm like, I'm working all this time for somebody else. What am I doing for me? So when I come home, you know, I don't have to, I tell my, cause I don't have the luxury to rest and sleep. I need to come home. I either need to do homework, do some studying, or work on building my business, or doing something where I'm investing in myself constantly for the future. Because we invest in everything else, we invest in everybody else, but we don't invest in ourselves. And before we close, I want you to say a little bit more on that. We have about 3 minutes left, but I want you to, you know, give some closing remarks here. But you can talk a little bit more about that. What do people need to do? And I really want to motivate some Christians out there into action. Motivate is to encourage or to push one into action about what they claim that they believe. So if we believe that faith without works is dead, that means we should be out there doing, not just sitting and opening our mouths. So what are some recommendations for somebody that's listening? What are some recommendations that they can do, whether it's reading a book every day, every month, reading one book every month, whether it's investing in something? What are some things that they can do? How can they start investing in themselves, and how can they start getting some of these skills that they need to invest into their future and their children?
What I would say is the first thing we should do is recognize how valuable time is. Time can never, you can never get your time back. And so what I would do is just as a practical way that you can apply this conversation that we're having is take a whole week's period and look at what we're doing, how we're spending our time. You know, write it down. You know, in this 24-hour day period, what did I do? I went to work for 8 hours. I came home. I cooked. I cleaned. I did. And then I sat down and I watched TV. And really look at where you're spending your time. How much time did you spend in prayer? How much time did you spend in Bible? You know, reading the Bible. You know, look at where you're spending your time. And then once you see where you're spending your time, ask yourself the question, I mean, can I maybe pull away from the television for maybe a 1 or 2 hours out of the day and actually read a book? Or can I spend a little bit more time in prayer? Or can I spend a little bit more time in meditation? What I would say is everybody as individuals, we should consider and ask ourselves the question, what is really important to me? Is watching TV more important, or is there better things that I could be doing with our times? And yeah, I would definitely recommend that we read that book. I like the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I'm also reading another book by a guy named Napoleon Hill.
I knew you were going to say that. Go ahead. I was just thinking about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, that book is called Think and Grow Rich.
Think and Grow Rich.
Yeah. To sit down and read that book, that's why I said foundation, you got to get the foundation first. You got to recognize that time is very valuable, and that's why I don't try to waste it. Just a little bit about myself. Okay. I'm 25 years old. My wife and I just got married last year, and before we got to the altar, you know, we talked about where we wanted to be within the next 5 years. And all about the
I want you to hold that thought. We're going to continue this. I want you to hold that thought for me. You've been listening in. You've been tuning in to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. I want to thank you for tuning in, and I hope that you got something from the broadcast. If you have any questions, send me an email. Tune in next week.
investment.
All right. Are you still on the line?
Yeah, I'm still here.